They lead the National Hockey League in points after a win last night in Carolina. Vegas now on top of not only the Pacific, not only the West, but the NHL with 66 points. Very pleased. Joining us on Inside Hockey for Calgary Co-op is Steve Karp, who covers the team for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. And, Steve, I appreciate the fact that this question is probably the one you've gotten asked over and over and over again. But I sit here today looking at this, and it's amazing to me. Why? Why are the Golden Knights number one in the NHL today?
If there was a simple answer, the other 30 teams would be doing the same exact thing. But there is no simple answer to this. So you have to go back to before the expansion draft when George McPhee and his staff were beating the bushes, watching games every night, scouting hundreds of players, trying to determine who would fit well playing with who. And, yep. You know, they hired Gerard Gallant in April as the coach. And ultimately, you know what, it came down to a couple things. One, players overachieving, playing above their ceiling, if you will, that the perceived ceiling. And two, great chemistry. I mean, these guys really mm-hmm. like each other, and they execute, and they're hard to play against.
Who's the, you know, now that we're halfway through the season, and especially with a new franchise, I think we would start to be getting a sense of the dressing room and who's in charge. Who is the heartbeat of this team? Who are the, you know, the players or the player that makes up kind of the engine that drives this thing forward?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's nobody wearing the captain's C in that room. So they kind of do this by committee. And, you know, you've got, you know, someone like Derek Englund, who you guys are very familiar yep. with from his days with the Flames. You've got James Neal. You got Marc-Andre Fleury, obviously. David Perron. They've got a good leadership group. Mm-hmm. It kind of shows the way, keeps the young guys focused. And, you know, with Gallant being a player's coach to begin with, you don't have too many issues where they have to go to Gallant and say, hey, you got to lighten it up. You know, you can't run us into the ground. You can't do this or that. There have been none of that, those kinds of issues with this team. So they were fortunate when they drafted these guys to get some guys who had some character and could display that in the room.
In conversation, Steve Karp from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, our guest here on Inside Hockey for Calgary Co-op. You know, again, I feel like I'm chasing my tail here because I'm looking for the reason. But I do want to ask about something very emotional at the beginning of the year. That home opener after the tragedy yeah. that took place in Las Vegas. Are we overestimating that? Do we underestimate that from the outside of the impact that had on the start for this team?
Well, I think it's more off the ice than on it.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, in terms yeah. of really weaving the team into the fabric of the community. I think that's the salient point here. When we talk mm-hmm. about October 1 and the aftermath and the team's role in helping the community heal, that you can't underestimate. That you can't even quantify it with numbers or anything, but it's just there. And now you see it, you know, with the team winning, you get 1,000 people showing up for a practice on a Saturday morning. You don't see that around the NHL very often. They're playing over capacity at home. Yeah, there are nights where the other team's got a lot of its fans there. A case in point, Edmonton, a week and a half ago when the Oilers came in and it felt like Rexall Rogers Place. Now I've got my buildings mixed up, but you know,
okay.
it's part of the deal. But when the schedule came out last June, the Edmonton fans, the Toronto fans, the Boston fans, the Detroit fans, the Pittsburgh fans, the Rangers fans, Blackhawks, all the teams' fans said, "Hey, we got to go when our guys play Vegas," because for them, it's not just watching their team, and in some cases, cheaper than going to a game in their home market. But, you know, a little holiday, turn it into a fun weekend or a fun 3 days and get out of the cold and let's say you're Edmonton, why wouldn't you want to come to Vegas for the weekend? Or if you were Toronto, it was New Year's Eve when the Leafs came. Why on earth wouldn't you want to come to Las Vegas and celebrate New Year's in Las Vegas and watch your team play that day? So, yeah, it makes sense on a lot of levels.
So you brought up the fans. Let me ask you two questions. One, is there a pushback? I know the Edmonton game we saw on Hockey Night in Canada, and they were singing Happy Birthday to Connor. I get that. But, is there a pushback when the fans of the opposition are there? Do the locals have that voice to kind of drown them out?
Most nights they have. And again, you're not seeing fights in the stands or anything like that. Everyone gets along really well. They have this area called the park outside the arena where people congregate before games. They have bars, restaurants. And you see Golden Knights fans interacting with fans from the other team, over beers. They're talking hockey. They're having a good conversation. They're watching whatever early game is on the screen in these establishments. And I think it's made for a very pleasant, if you will, kind of atmosphere in the arena on game night. Yeah, I mean, the Knights fans are bringing it. They're loud. They're behind their team. But we're not seeing that kind of anger or negativity that you might see in other cities. I won't name them. You know what they are, which ones are. You guys have experienced it, all right? But so far, it's been a very civil coexistence on game night in T-Mobile Arena.
What about expectations from the fans? I mean, the best home record in the National Hockey League. We started it off by saying now 46 games in, the best record. Are fans there starting to get, playoff fever? They're starting to get excited about this.
They were having playoff fever back in November, guys.
And I mean, this,
No one saw this coming. If they did, they're lying. I mean, I had to win 29 games all year, and I thought I was being pretty generous, and I'm around the team every single day. All right. I mean, for the fan base, this is just a dream come true. They were hoping the team could be competitive, win a few games, maybe beat the Kings and the Ducks, and maybe somehow be in the mix for a playoff spot come late March. Well, that whole thing has changed. I mean, now guys, fans are talking Stanley Cup. I mean, they're talking going to the finals. They're talking, we're taking this thing a long way. And I think, I think if you're George McPhee, you came into the season with a plan in mind that, come the deadline, maybe we unload Neil, maybe we get rid of Marchessault, maybe we get rid of Perron and Carlson. Carlson, no one thought he could score 25 goals. He even didn't think that, but he's having a remarkable year. But the point being, you're George McPhee now. You're in contention for the President's Trophy. You're going to be in the playoffs, barring a monumental collapse of epic proportions. And you're probably not a seller anymore. You may be even a buyer, looking for maybe that extra winger who could score, or maybe one more defenseman. But I think you're going to see them staying kind of pat here. I don't know that you're going to see a whole lot of changes. They don't want to jerk with the chemistry in the room. And they've got four lines. They got guys contributing. Pierre-Edouard Belmar scored yesterday. Leipzig, little brother Leipzig scored. So they're getting production. It's not just Carlson and Fleury, and Marchessault and James Neal, all right? You're getting production throughout the lineup.
Steve Karp, our guest from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We're talking about the Golden Knights here on Inside Hockey for Calgary Co-op. You did answer the million-dollar question for us around here, because we've been trading assets and making all kinds of moves for the Golden Knights kind of in theory up here as the trade deadline gets closer and closer. But you think they're just going to stand pat, that they won't, to resist the urge to get into that great, gobbledygook, which can be the trade deadline in the NHL?
I mean, look, if Brett Trivelli wants to trade Dougie Hamilton or Giordano, and And he wants to send him to Vegas. I'm sure George McPhee will take the call and at least listen.
Sure.
I don't see that. I don't see that happening. Do you guys? I mean, come on. You know, I, by the way, I can't wait for next Tuesday to get up there for the game. Now we see my good friend Glenn Gulson, you know, who, of course, coached here in Vegas.
Absolutely.
Finally, to see this team, these two teams play each other. What the hell are the schedule makers thinking, man? I mean,
well,
come on. They should have the Flames and the Knights play before, you know, the end of January. I don't know what they were thinking in Toronto or New York, wherever they made the schedule. But anyway,
well,
to answer the question, I don't know that too many teams want to mess with George, frankly, because he fleeced a few of them, namely the Panthers and the Wild, in the expansion draft. So they might be a little gun-shy about doing business with George. But, look, you know, every team does what it has to do to put itself in position to win. And, you know, I mean, I know Brandon, and he's I think he's got really good intentions with the Flames, and he's trying to make this thing work. You know, they're playing pretty well right now. I know they were going through some tough times earlier in the year, but you know, they're playing pretty well at the moment. So I don't know what more they're going to do up in Calgary, but I think here in Vegas, don't expect too much movement come trade deadline day.
I guess my last one for you, Steve, is overall health of this team. You know, is this a healthy team midway through the season?
Well, I mean, they're not devastated by injuries. They've got guys out, but they can get by without Lucas Pisa, Tomas Nosek. They can get by without John Merrill. The big one, of course, was dealing with Fleury when he got the concussion back in mid-October against Detroit, and they were going through everybody but my brother in that. And thank God, you know, they signed Malcolm Subban off of waivers back in right before the start of the season. He's been tremendous as Fleury's backup. He's played very well, and you got to give credit to David Pryor, the goaltender's coach with the Knights. He's a true magician working with these young kids, whether it was Subban before he got hurt, Oscar Dance before he got hurt, Maxim Lagasse, and even young Dylan Ferguson from Kamloops. I mean, the goaltending in of itself was a revolving door, and you wouldn't think any team would survive that, much less an expansion team. Yet they found a way. They competed. They've only lost three games. That's been their longest losing streak all year. That's been on two occasions. So they've managed their losses really well. And I think that's a big part of it. And for the most part, they have survived the injuries. So Marchessault missed a week with a knee. Eric Halla missed a week and a half with a knee. You know, you've got a couple of other guys get knocked around a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, the core has stayed relatively healthy. So I think, you know, they've done a great job of keeping their practices short and stuff and just not overworking it. They're not – Gallant's not running them into the ground. So I think there's enough gas in the tank to go the distance.
Steve, really appreciate this. I know there's a lot of attention on this team and a lot of requests for everybody, but I'm glad you made some time. Looking forward to that game here in Calgary next week, the first of four meetings between Calgary and the Golden Knights. Thank you, sir. We'll see you here next week.